This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Robin Lundberg Show.
You want a little insight into my personality? My existence is really a constant battle between extreme confidence and deep-set insecurity.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Got a good show going, man.
I'm here and ready to strike.
Robin, I gotta tell you, I've only been listening for about a month now, but I do love the show.
I want to make sure I get all of your guys' opinions in before we get out of here, because you're as big a part. Well, actually, let me take that. That was too nice. You're a big part of the show. I was going to say you're as big a part of the show as I am. I'll give you 40%. 60% me, 40% you. But it wouldn't exist without you.
The Robin Lundberg Show is on the air.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show. I'm going to give you my NFL picks coming up. It's a very important week. I think I was 2-4 last week. The darn Bears cost me by a half a point from being 3-3, which means I'm only one game over 500, Anthony?
No, you are now 25-25. You're right at 500.
500 on the button. So it's a big week. Maybe I'll pick extra games this week and just let it be pure chaos. Either I'm going to go above or I'm going to go well below. That's, you know, why not? So I'll get to that in just a minute. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. But let me get to a few of you first on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you want rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. I was just talking about the Bears. Mike in Chicago, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Mike?
Robin, good morning, buddy. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm a Bears fan, so about as good as I can. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
In recent news yesterday, Matt Nagy has now handed the offensive play calling over to Bill Lazor. I wanted to know if that's time. And also, if the Bears miss out on the playoffs, in your opinion, should Nagy and Pace both be gone?
You know, the first one, sure, why not? Why not try something different? And thanks for the call. The second one, no, I don't think so. I think... The Bears' problems have been mostly at the quarterback spot. That was their biggest issue a year ago. And you know, as far as drafting Mitch Trubisky, that could be the thing that you tie them to, anybody there too. So that would be, you know, if Ryan Pace was on the chopping block, perhaps. I don't know at the coach if necessarily that's his fault, and I haven't seen anything. Like, there's nothing embarrassing about the Bears, so I'm not sure. I get it, there was some level of expectation, but that doesn't feel like a clean house type of situation to me. Tom in Auburn, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how we going? Long-time listener. I love the wrestling talk. I just want to say real quickly, though, that I'm a Packers fan, so I hate the Bears, but in any case, they're having a decent season for what it is. But back to the wrestling, I missed the first part. I haven't checked out your Twitter. What exactly had you said, first and foremost, about the screw job that got it buzzing a little bit?
That it was Bret, you know, all these years later, to me, Bret Hart is the one who's most at fault simply because he should have dropped the belt to Shawn Michaels. Like, I don't care that it was Canada. I don't care that he didn't like Shawn. Any of those things, you know, that's the the beginning of, you know, all of it stems from that, is basically what I'm saying. Of course he was screwed. Of course they did him wrong. Of course all those things. Of course he's an all-time great. Of course he had committed to the company. But knowing that he's leaving for the rival and knowing that you're elevating Sean, the only thing that makes sense is for him to lose the belt to Sean then, as close as that event was to his, you know, debut with WCW.
Absolutely, yeah, and I agree, and it's funny because I'm actually a Shawn Michaels fan. My best friend is a Bret Hart fan, so I razz him all the time. You know, Bret Hart tapped out, and you know he did. Obviously, we both know the whole scenario. You know, Earl Hebner being the referee, I guess, was actually good friends with the Hart family, and, you know, he knew going into the match that he was going to make Hart submit, so... definitely, you know, a great, great time in wrestling history, and you know, being a wrestling fan that I am. Hopefully, the house shows come back. I enjoy, you know, going out and getting autographs, things like that nature. But keep up the wrestling talk. I definitely enjoyed that segment. So,
thank you. Let's go to Mackenzie in Tallahassee. Mackenzie, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Good morning, Robert. I agree with Anthony that you did deserve some flack over the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels situation, because most people probably don't remember that the way Shawn Michaels got brought up in the company or became such a main eventer was because when he super kicked Marty Jannetty on the
barbershop.
And Bret Hart was definitely, he was more of a technician, and to where he felt like what he did in the ring was definitely was top notch and everything like that. And just basically, them two just did not get along. They would never get along no matter what. So that topic will always be a sore subject with Bret more than probably with Shawn. Because Shawn just did not care then. He still doesn't care now. And Cornette did speak about it on his podcast.
Well, so I know, but he yelled at me on Twitter also.
That don't surprise me none because Cornette just can't stand bad wrestling.
My problem was it just I didn't know people were going to take it. I think Bret took the whole thing too seriously, and I didn't realize people were going to take what I had to say about it so seriously. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I should have been more thorough or whatever. I'm not above criticism.
Because wrestling to a lot of people, because I've been watching wrestling since 1972. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can get a lot of trouble with diehard wrestling fans. So be careful next time.
I guess so. I guess the upshot would be there's a lot of engagement, a lot of clicks, a lot of views, and all that stuff. But I just was not. I honestly was not. I say things, my opinion, all the time, and given the absurdist nature of pro wrestling in and of itself, I was not expecting it to be taken as seriously as it was. Let's go to Jake in St. Louis. Jake, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jake?
Oh, not much, man. I wanted to talk about the Westbrook thing. There were three teams that you brought up that I was interested in, the Knicks, the Pistons and the Bulls. I don't think it makes any sense for the Knicks to trade for him. I mean, they just don't have much of a direction right now. I feel like they should continue their youth movement. I mean, obviously they don't have a whole lot of young talent right now. The youth movement hasn't worked out that well, but I feel like for an aging star whose game doesn't really fit the modern NBA, I don't think it would move the needle. Obviously, it would, like, fans-wise, but I don't think for their, like, overall team performance it would really do much. I mean, they may be, like, a 38-40 win team, depending on, you know, how weak the bottom half of the East is and whatnot. But the Pistons, I think they should blow it up. I don't think that banking on one more season, two more seasons of being a 42-win team and trying to make the playoffs with Blake Griffin, who gets hurt, you know, every other season, and Westbrook, I don't think that that's, like, an ideal situation. They've got a decent pick in the draft. If I were them, I would look at trying to move Blake Griffin, Luke Kennard, anybody they can get young players draft capital for, even if Blake's contract would be tough to move. I don't see a point in them going for a 42-win season. I feel like they should play the long game. I think the best fit for him would be Chicago. I mean, A, the Billy Donovan connection, already having played for Donovan, and Donovan, like, knowing what type of guy and player Westbrook is. And I think with Chicago's roster construction, they're really only a piece away from being decent in the East. I mean, obviously the top half of the East is pretty settled. You've got your Miami, Boston, Milwaukee. You're going to have Toronto up there, and then Brooklyn, obviously, with Durant and Irving. They're going to – that's probably your five. But after that, I feel like there's no team that really sticks out like, you know, this team's going to make the playoffs for sure. So if you put Westbrook in Chicago next to Zach LaVine, which obviously another ball-dominant guard, but I think they could work it out. And then guys like Otto Porter, Markkanen, Wendell Carter. I feel like if the Bulls wanted to throw Colby White in the deal, I don't see if they – if Houston would go for that, I don't see why Chicago wouldn't want to do that, because I think that would elevate them to probably at least the sixth seed in the East. I mean, the bottom half of the East is pretty rough, and they may even have a shot in the first-round playoff series if they don't draw like a Milwaukee or a Boston. But, yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
No, I kind of like Chicago. The more I've thought about it, the more that one I've liked, because, like I said, I think Chicago can move – has some young pieces they could move plus a pick or two – while keeping some of the youth that they've acquired, and Westbrook would give them a degree of relevancy that they have not had in a long time. All right, time for me to make my NFL picks for this week.
He's crunched the numbers, used careful analysis, and is now ready to lay down the dough. Here's Robin Lundberg with his Gridiron Picks of the Week.
All right. This is a big week. I'm going to go extra. I'm just going to throw it out there. See what happens. Not afraid. Not afraid to be a loser. Going for the big win this week. This is either going to be... mark it down. Week 10 in the NFL is going to either be the one that revives me or buries me when it comes to the NFL picks for this season. So let's start with the Houston Texans +4 over the Cleveland Browns. Ew. I hate picking the Texans. I picked them last week, and it burns me. They're not good. But the Browns are also not very good. The Browns are got to be one of the worst teams with a record as good as they have right now. 5-3. They've been outscored by 31 points on the season. Baker Mayfield has not looked great as of late. The Texans are getting too many points against a team that I think is probably closer to their equal than the records would suggest. And Houston has played a little bit better as of late. I mean, their two wins in the last four games are both against Jacksonville, but their losses, one was an overtime loss to Tennessee, and the other was more of a decisive loss to Green Bay. So this is in no way me saying that the Texans are any good, but I also don't think the Browns are, and it just seems like a few too many points going Houston's way. So I'll take Texans +4. Over the Browns. I'm going with a lot of underdogs. In fact, I think I'm going all underdogs this week, so we'll see how that works for me. Let me take the Giants +3.5 over the Eagles. The Giants are a team that's a little bit better than their record would indicate, I would say. They've looked prepared every week. They've been in a lot of games. And Philly, as much as they lead the NFC East, so they're not good either. The lowest endorsement you can get for winning a division is winning this year's NFC East, right? The last time they played, they beat the Giants by 1 point, 22-21. It's another division game. So I just don't think that the Eagles are actually leagues better than the Giants at this point. So in a division contest, with New York getting +3.5, I'll go with the Giants. Then I'm going to go with the Panthers +6. Over the Buccaneers. This could be the one that comes back to bite me, because maybe Tampa had a wake-up call last week and they respond in kind. But the other thing could be true, and that's that the trends for Tampa could be a little troubling. And the Buccaneers should have lost that game to the Giants. They got destroyed by the Saints. The Panthers have been a competitive team as of late. So I could see this being a tight game. Six is, again, a lot of points to be given in that case. So I'll take the Panthers +6 over the Bucks. I'll take the Washington football team +4.5 over the Detroit Lions. I get it. The quarterback situation is tenuous in Washington for sure. But the Lions stink. You know, so 4.5 points. I don't know if the Lions should be given 4.5 points to any team. And it doesn't really get any simpler than that. So I'll take Washington plus 4.5 over the Lions. Give me the Bills plus 2.5 over the Cardinals. I know the Cardinals are a hot team right now. They look really good. I like the Cardinals too. But Buffalo is also just a good team. The Bills have some signature wins on this season, particularly last week against the Seahawks. They finally beat the Patriots. You know, they are the kind of team that it has aspirations for big things this year. Both of these teams do. These are two good teams meeting, and I think they're two equal teams meeting. There are two teams that I would put right on that same playing field, right on that same level. So with the Bills getting 2.5, I'll go with them. I'll take the Seahawks also getting 2.5. That against the Rams. That is a competitive division out there. The NFC West, one of the most competitive divisions in the entire sport. But the Seahawks need this win now. They've lost two of their last three games to the Cardinals and the Bills. So if they want to keep the lead in the division, they're going to need this win against the Rams. I trust Russell Wilson to have a bounce back game. I just trust the Seahawks' ability to score a little bit more than the Rams' ability to score. So I'll take the Seahawks plus 2.5. And then finally, I'll go out on a limb, the Bengals plus 7 over the Steelers. The Bengals are coming off of a bye, so they should be well-rested. They should be fully prepared. They're coming off of a win as well, a big win over the Titans in their last game. Joe Burrow has played really well. This is a division contest for them. You know how those division contests can be. The Steelers are undefeated, yes, but they've been in a lot of close games. They almost lost to the Cowboys. I think you could see the signature win for Joe Burrow and company. And if not, they are getting 7 points, so they don't have to win the game for me to win this bet or this imaginary bet, whatever you call it, in this segment. So to recap, that's the Texans plus 4 over the Browns. The Giants plus 3.5 over the Eagles. The Panthers plus 6 over the Buccaneers. Washington plus 4.5 over the Lions. The Bills plus 2.5 over the Cardinals. The Seahawks plus 2.5 over the Rams. The Bengals plus 7 over the Steelers. And those are my NFL picks for this week 10 of the NFL football season. 855-212-4227 if you want to get involved with the show. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. We'll get deeper into this week in the NFL coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Short on sleep and long on opinions, he's Robin Lundberg.
Let's go to Edwin in Tribeca. Edwin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm here. I just wanted to know, like, in regards to the NFL and their diversity new program that they're starting, what do you think about that? And I have an NBA question, too, as well.
What program are you referencing?
The new coaching diversity platform that they're building right now.
You know what? I'd have to read more into that specifically before I comment on it, because it's a serious topic that requires full knowledge on this,
right,
the situation. I mean, I think anything that the NFL can do to legitimately make a commitment to sort of addressing some of the issues that have plagued the league a little bit makes sense to me. But I want to know exactly what's going on and exactly what they're doing before I really comment on it. What was the other thing you wanted to say?
Before I get to my NBA point, I like your picks this week. I like the Giants, and I like the Panthers as well, what Teddy Bridgewater is doing there. As far as the Knicks and the trade with Russell Westbrook and all these rumors going on, I do agree with your piece on SI.com in regards to Harden should stay in place, because as far as that, he had Dwight Howard. He had Chris Paul. and now he's going to be having, Russell Westbrook when in that situation. So it's not a good optic for him and his basketball IQ for the NBA. I think it'd be great for his career if he stayed put. As far as the Knicks, I think they should go after him and get somebody treads on these tires, because the Knicks has a big, huge market. The Lakers already got out of, you know, purgatory and being an L.A. I think it's time for New York's time to do something here. And I believe in front office Leon Rose and the guys up there. And if you could just let me know, what would you take at 8? I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thanks for your support.
Yeah, you got it. Ben, thanks for calling. Look, I understand the point of view. If you're a Knicks fan of, like, it's something. Dave Edinger, too. Dave Talk Sports tweets, and I'm in the minority on this one as a Knicks fan. It simply can't make the situation at the Garden any worse than it is right now. And I suppose that's true. I mean, it just doesn't feel like it is building towards anything either. So is it the worst move a team would have ever made? No. Does it feel like a very Knicks move? Yeah. I mean, it feels like a move made for headlines, right? For buzz rather than sustainability. For winning, for any of those things. As far as this year's NBA draft, like I addressed it a previous caller, I don't know, man. I'm not afraid to say when I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of these players. College season was ended abruptly last year. There wasn't much to see. G League, like, it just, and from all the people who have been covering it or are paid to cover it, it's not a very strong draft. Like I said, I watched that Amani Bates-Chet Holmgren showdown the other night, and I came away really impressed by both of those guys. Bates has been a known prospect. I was blown away by Holmgren, who's apparently the number one prospect of 2021, and he's 7'1". You couldn't even tell that when you're watching the game, the way he handled the ball. He was like the lead guard for that team for much of the game, and he has great shot-blocking instincts, tight handles for somebody his size. He could shoot. He could run the floor. He is super talented, and I would take either of those guys, one, in this draft, and then the other one, two, in this draft if they could enter. That's not even mentioning Jalen Green, who's a big prospect, Cade Cunningham, who's a big prospect. So I think the next couple of drafts are pretty loaded. As far as this one goes, I mean, when you see LaMelo Ball near the top, LaMelo Ball has some natural good instincts, but he did not score or shoot that well overseas, and that has to be a big concern. When you're getting down to 8, the one thing I think you could say that is good for a team picking in 8th is that maybe this is a draft that winds up with depth, because there's not that much at the top. Maybe one of the top guys is a swing and a miss, and one of the better players falls. But I can't tell you who I would pick at 8, because I don't know how this draft is going to shake out exactly, and I'm not even huge on the guys at the top, and I'm just not, you know, as informed as I typically would be going into a draft for a number of factors. What I'm really looking forward to is the potential trades and the potential player movement and everything along with that. But it's one of the reasons why, let's say, Golden State, who's picking 2nd in the draft this year, normally you would think of the number 2 draft pick as a huge trade chip, and it's still a good trade chip, but it's not what it, like last year, if you had the number 2 pick in the draft and you knew that was going to be Ja Morant, and we all had our thoughts on Ja Morant coming in, that's thought of a lot more, with a lot more value than the number 2 pick this year, where you look at the number 2 pick this year and who is that going to be? Is that going to be Anthony Edwards? Is it going to be LaMelo Ball? Is it going to be James Wiseman? I couldn't tell you. And do any of those guys, you know, Killian Hayes, do any of those guys give you the same level of certainty or confidence that you felt around Ja Morant heading into the draft? I don't think so. I don't think that is the case at all. So I think because of that, too, you're going to see a lot more movement possibly, too. People aren't as committed to their draft picks. Maybe they see an opportunity for some value that other teams don't see, because they like one player more than another team likes a player. But I would expect a wild and crazy next week in the NBA, starting basically Monday to almost Thanksgiving. I think that's when it will calm down around Thanksgiving. But from now until then, I think you will see a wild period in the NBA where you're going to see a bunch of trades, a bunch of movement, a bunch of conversations started, a bunch of signings, all that sort of stuff. It's coming up. It's going to be, it's all condensed too, right? I mean, typically, I think you should have the draft after free agency, to be honest. I think they should reverse it. I think that's something they should look at going forward. But typically, it's just all more spaced out. It's all going to happen at the same time, rapidly, right now. And I think, therefore, as soon as the teams are given the green light to make transactions, it's going to be nuts. Because, all this stuff is also talked about and agreed to beforehand and worked out beforehand. And then it's just a formality once it's officially allowed that it happens. How else do you see guys sign at the beginning of free agency, the first second that free agency opens? Kyrie Irving is committed to the Nets. Well, Kyrie Irving had already committed to the Nets, right? Expect a wild NBA offseason. And there's plenty of intriguing teams. Obviously, Houston is one of them. You want to see how L.A. bolsters their team, how the Clippers might improve. I think the Nets clearly are the most interesting team in the entire league heading into next season and how that roster might look if they might make another move. The Warriors are fascinating because they do have that second pick. They do have Andrew Wiggins. Do they move him after just trading for him? Is that second pick being used as a trade chip? Or are they going to draft a player and try to develop a player in Golden State? A lot on the table when it comes to the NBA and this offseason. And then, the name that we've been talking about on the show, Russell Westbrook, is likely going to be traded, right, at some point. James Harden, what happens with him?
Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. About to get to all the topics I have not as of yet in the show. But first, I will get to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Good morning, Robin. Hope you're being safe. I guess it's what they say nowadays. It's better be lucky than good. Oh, it's just getting worse. But besides that Rams-Seattle game being a great game, I love that game, the Chargers and Dolphins, Justin Herbert against Tua. I think, I don't know when was the last year where you had three quarterbacks that are good. We know they're good, lock, stock, and barrel, as they say. Three quarterbacks taken in the first six picks that turned out to be good. And starters for long term, I believe. It's just like this coming year, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and I believe J.D. Daniels are the real deal. They're going to be good, solid picks, I guess, in the first top 10. I just don't remember a year where you had three good quarterbacks that are starting already so soon, and it turned out to be real good.
Yeah, I mean, look, Turner has... I mean, Herbert has already been good thus far this season. Obviously, Burrow has proven himself. Tua just got the start, but so far so good with two wins. I mean, the first one he didn't do much in, but the second one he played a lot better. So I think that is, enough of a return to see that you got to feel pretty good about this quarterback class, the rookie quarterback class as of right now. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can weigh in at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Any portion of the show you might have missed, just go to cbssportsradio.com and grab the podcast, or you can go to radio.com, and you can get it, Apple Podcasts, all of those places. But you didn't miss me touching on any of the topics I haven't as of yet, and that's coming up right now in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, let's do more NBA trades, shall we? So the Phoenix Suns and Oklahoma City Thunder have discussed a Chris Paul trade. Paul averaged 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and over a steal per game in the playoffs for OKC. And he also appeared in 70 of the team's 72 games. Do you like Chris Paul on the Suns?
I think it's intriguing. You know, Chris Paul told me a couple weeks ago that he believes that, honestly, any team he's on should be a contender. Not that he has to go to a contender, but be via his presence, they are a contender. And Phoenix won, what, 8 in a row in the bubble before they, you know, didn't quite qualify for one of those postseason slots and went home. So when you have Ayton, a developing player, when you have Booker, a scorer as gifted as he is, when you have other talent on that roster like Kelly Oubre, you add Chris Paul, and all of a sudden you're thinking, all right, this is something. Now, is it a championship something? Probably not. But is it a guaranteed playoff appearance something? Absolutely. So it's the kind of thing that could give Chris Paul another Oklahoma City type run with a little bit more talent around him and the proper sunset to his career, if you will. So I'm not mad at the idea of Chris Paul in Phoenix. I think where he winds up is one of the more intriguing, if not the most intriguing, storyline of the remainder of, or not the remainder, of the entirety of the NBA offseason. What's up next?
Another one.
The Lakers are reportedly interested in a DeMar DeRozan trade that would send Kyle Kuzma to the Spurs. What would the addition of DeRozan mean for the Lakers' title hopes next season?
This is a tough one because they'd have to give up Danny Green in that trade, the way I've seen it. And as poorly as Green shot this season, and particularly in the playoffs, there's still something to his career proficiency from three. One, because it makes you think he'll bounce back. And two, because teams have to be wary of him. And he's also very good defensively. And it's not that easy to find guys at his height with his length who are good defensively. He's like 6'6". So, you know, I'd be a little concerned about losing all of that and bringing in DeRozan, who's a non-shooter from the outside. You don't have to be concerned about DeMar DeRozan from the outside whatsoever. However, what DeRozan would bring to L.A. is something that they have lacked, which is a consistent third scorer. Somebody who, you know, night in and night out is reliable to put the ball in the hoop. And that is something that DeRozan absolutely is. And DeRozan, you know, when LeBron goes to the bench, could be the initiator of the offense. DeRozan is a master at the mid-range. So it would give the Lakers a wrinkle they don't have. I would just be a little concerned about then replacing Danny Green, because I still think that's something they would have to do, is get another shooter in there, get another defender in there if they were going to make that swap. I think the writing's on the wall that they're probably going to trade Kyle Kuzma. One, because he doesn't have a natural fit with the Lakers. He just hasn't found that natural role. And two, because he is probably their best chip that is available to move, a young player still with some potential in the league. Whether that will be for DeRozan, we'll see. But Danny Green would likely be included in any of those deals, at least as of now, because he's the one player they have who is movable, who has salary, and you need salary to make those trades in the NBA. What's next?
Another one.
Since we just talked about the Lakers, let's talk LeBron James. And Jim Gray this week on the DA show reflected on the 10-year anniversary of the decision, and he said that the event could have been more sensitive to Cavs fans. I'm not sure how that's possible, but what do you think about that comment?
I guess the way to make it more sensitive to Cavs fans is to have him tell them off the bat he's not going to Cleveland or staying with Cleveland, and make a long, nice statement about his time there and how much he loved the fans and appreciated them or everything like that, and not just sort of leave them hanging the entire time, I guess. But that's really the only way I think that can be done. Otherwise, I'm not sure what it is. I think fans were going to be hurt regardless of what happened there. It's a tough thing for them to do, and still reliving it and relitigating it and all that is I'm not sure what they accomplish at this point by continuing to relive that. What's up next?
Another one.
Doug Peterson defended Carson Wentz on Wednesday after Brett Favre said he thinks Philly should have kept Foles as the starting quarterback.
I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line. End of story.
So what do you think, Robin? Is Brett Favre right?
You know, I think at this point it's tough to say he's wrong. Carson Wentz has accomplished some things at the NFL level. They are number one in the division right now, though it's a little disappointing where he's at, to be quite frank. And you have to go back to Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl. You have to go back to Nick Foles getting them to the playoffs when Wentz went down the next season. And you have to look at Wentz struggling a bit this year. Now, part of that is Wentz trying to do too much because he doesn't have that much to work with in Philadelphia with the surrounding talent. So all of that factors into it. And I don't know what you have in Jalen Hurts there. And they already gave Carson Wentz the contract. So when you're adding up all those variables, when you're combining all those factors and everything like that, then, yeah, of course, you're going to want to lean toward Wentz. And I think Wentz is going to have a long leash as long as they stay at the top of the division. And because he did sign that deal and because he has talent and they're hopeful of him fully realizing that. But if he continues to struggle and play poorly over an extended period of time, and you did draft Jalen Hurts where you drafted him, it's natural that fans are going to wonder. Fans wonder when there is no backup, right? Like fans start to wonder about the starter and who could replace him when there is no backup. So when there is a guy that makes sense as the natural replacement, I get it. And especially in Philadelphia, they're going to be quick to call talk radio stations and call for a change and everything. So I think Carson Wentz is the quarterback. He is the quarterback for now, but I wouldn't be quite as definitive that it is definitely going to be that case, the case going forward. What's next?
Another one.
Sticking with the NFL, Phillip Rivers passed Dan Marino for fifth on the NFL's all-time passing yards list Thursday night. Is Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Probably. He doesn't feel like it to me, but I think he probably is when you look at just the pure accomplishments, and the statistical measures when you're going all-time. It's a tough one because, look, if Phillip Rivers is in the Hall of Fame, I think Eli Manning has to be in the Hall of Fame, right? With the Super Bowls that he's won, and I've made the case for Eli Manning, but others would make the case if you're saying Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame, then Phillip Rivers needs to be in the Hall of Fame statistically for what he's done. Ultimately, I do, he's not my favorite player of all time, just to be quite frank. He's not, what I think of when I think surefire Hall of Famer, but I'm also being fair in the evaluation. And when you look at, his career and his career value and where he is all time, in some of these statistics, passing yards and passing touchdowns. And I mean, I think he's fifth all time in career passing yards. When it comes to passing touchdowns, let me see where he ranks real quick, just so I can give you the actual number. Sixth all time in passing touchdowns. You can't keep him out of the Hall of Fame with those sort of accumulative stats. So yes, Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. What's next?
Another one.
All right, and finally, on Wednesday, Joe Burrow said he was scared of Harry Potter movies growing up.
I was scared of everything growing up. I still don't like scary movies. I don't like haunted houses or anything like that. But, I couldn't watch Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, House. I was, like, strictly a SpongeBob, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon kind of guy.
All right, so, Robin, growing up as a kid, what movie scared you?
Ooh, that's a good question. What scared me? I mean, The Exorcist was always a fairly scary movie, right? Those quick surprise jump cut things always would get me as far as the scary. But I think The Exorcist was probably the creepiest one. Or you know who scared me? Is
Chucky.
Chucky,
Child's
yeah.
Play.
Yeah, not the movie. Didn't scare me as much as the doll. And then therefore any, like, my mom had this doll, this creepy doll that was like almost like a female kind of Chucky doll that was in my parents' bedroom when I was a kid. And there was like this plastic knife, and my brother and I used to put it in the doll's hand to mess with the other when we walk in there. And when you see that doll with that plastic knife in its hand, your initial reaction is like, oh, God. You know, like, goodness. And like, get this doll out of our damn house.
Yeah, I was scared of Chucky and then the doll. And then my parents bought me the My Buddy doll for some reason. And I was petrified of that. And then I wound up, I would just throw it down the steps each night before I went to bed because I didn't want it to be in the bed with me. I don't know why they bought it from me in the first place.
Mm. And what happened? They kept bringing it back upstairs? They didn't just take it away? Or they wanted you to be committed to your buddy?
Yeah, it was very weird. I don't know. It took a while before I finally got out of the house. I don't know why it took so long. Like, clearly, yeah. I was not happy with it. I didn't like it. Why I got it in the first place, I don't know.
Well, there you go. Yeah, creepy dolls. Nowadays, it's these, like, snake toys that my kid has. Because I'm in the basement, like, right now. And they'll put it like near doors or something in the bay. I was like, did that come in the garage? Because there are snakes around where I live, and you don't want to like step up on a snake. Did you see that huge alligator walking around in Florida the other day? That was crazy too. Reptiles, there's something, you know, you can't trust a reptile, right? There's nothing cuddly about it. There's no, like, feels like there's no negotiating. I don't know if you're negotiating with a big cat or a bear, but feels like you could get more headway with the mammal than you could a reptile. A little scarier. Maybe that's just me. I'll be back same time, same place next week. Robin Lundberg Show, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. Ken Carman coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.